You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So we are going to open up God's word together, or we're going to look at the motto verse together. So Amos 5:24, I love it because when I see that there and I saw it come up, let justice roll like a river, roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. If you've got your King James version, it talks about rolling down. I quite like the idea of rolling on, but however you interpret that one, we've went with rolling on here this morning. So Amos 5:24 is where we're at. This motto verse has been chosen and really to underpin what we believe God is going to do in 2019. That's why we've got a motto verse. And it's not that we hang everything off that, but actually in prayer, and I was praying quite a lot last year, Lord, where does that roll on from previous motto verses? And here is the quiz. Who can remember the motto verses over the last 3 years? In order. So if you haven't been here for the last couple of 3 years, then you're off the hook, okay? But can anybody remember what was the first motto verse that we put up on the screen? Can you remember? Say again? It was seek first. Where was that? Oh, we've got it up there already. Matthew, no, it's all right, Morris, you're fine. I can see at the back as well, you see. There's a screen there, so I can see if you're cheating. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That was what our first verse was when we came here, when I came here. And I really think God was saying that, you know, seek my kingdom out. But righteousness was a theme that came in. Can you remember the next one? We went into the Old Testament. No, you're ahead of yourself. You're ahead of yourself, but I like your thinking. Can you remember where we were? It was up there for a whole year. Yeah, okay. Did anybody shout out? Hosea. Very good. Don't put it up yet. Can you remember what it was? It was Hosea 10. Hang on a minute. What was it? Digging up our ground. Something about digging up our ground. I'm glad Hazel's on the board. You're not cheating around there, are you? No, all right then. That's fine. Hosea, what was it? You pop it up on the screen. Hosea 10:12. Can you remember? It was sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. And we got that sense that God was going to start digging things up and shaking things up. You know, the picture of that plowed field. Well, actually, when it's a plowed field and it's supposed to bear fruit, I don't know if as a kid I used to have a field that I cut across, shortcut, and then the field gets trodden down, and then maybe a bush starts to grow around it, and then that's my shortcut, and it's got bushes around it, and I go. And then one day the farmer says, oh, it's time to plough the field. And they come in, and my little path has gone. And this wasn't a shortcut for me. It was a field that was ready to produce a crop. And we get upset with these shortcuts. Lord, I've always walked this way. And the Lord says, no, let's break up that unplowed ground. It's time to actually get in there and get some planting going on. So Hosea 10:12, bit of righteousness in there again. And then, Ray, we were, it was up there last year, Isaiah 43:19, which said, it was only up there a few weeks ago. I've actually gone back and put 18 up there as well because we picked up on this a little bit more. Isaiah 43:18 started by saying, forget the former things, don't dwell on the past. That's where we started. That's the bedrock. Therefore, God is saying, see what I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And here we are this year with Amos 5:24, and it says, but let justice roll on like a river and righteousness like a never-failing stream. And that word righteousness, I kind of emphasize that because as I was looking back through this theme of righteousness was coming up over these last 3 or 4 years. And what was really interesting in the book of Amos there, you can go back and watch that video. I think I provided a link to it again. And actually, if you go to that page, it doesn't just give you that video. It gives you a little bit of about us. It gives you a little bit of word study, gives you a little bit of history and some further thinking. So it's quite a nice little page to go back and look at. But what Amos was talking about with righteousness is what it was connected to justice. And actually, this next slide says this. Its point about justice was, justice is about the actions we take to correct injustice, and that this in turn leads to righteousness. Think about that for a minute. So when there's justice or there's injustice, justice is about the actions that we take. So we do something, an action to correct injustice, and that in turn leads to righteousness. And I don't believe that's just a message for the time. It spoke about the gathered nations, didn't it? That Amos was delivering this message to Israel, but actually it's something carried through the New Testament, particularly a lot of Jesus' teaching as well. The video also gave us a definition of righteousness, and the particular bit that they picked up on there, righteousness. It's right relationships, and this means equality despite social difference. Okay, now righteousness means a number of other things, and we'll pick up on that in a minute. But actually, that right relationships, regardless of social difference or equality, should be there. And I believe that's the heartbeat that God wants us as church to engage with in 2019. I really believe that. I think that's what God is calling us to. So that's why we are where we are. You can pray into that, and hopefully we can encourage each other. I'll pick this up in more detail towards the end, but what I really want us to understand this morning, just catch this for a moment, because sometimes our world can become very small and very narrow, and when stuff starts happening, we get really focused on that. But actually, God is saying, I want you to understand you guys are part of something bigger. And you might be only your small little bit, as I've kind of prayed already, but actually we're part of something bigger. It's bigger than Limbrickwood Baptist Church. It's bigger than Tile Hill. It's bigger than Coventry. And if we do our bit, things will start to join up around this nation. God is doing some really exciting stuff in and around the cities and in and around this country. Last year, we had a number of visions. A church meeting, which has come up in a few weeks' time, we say, share that prophetic word. What has God been saying to you? Has God given you visions or dreams? You want to share that? And one of those things, I think it was actually via visitors that have come in before, they've seen smoke billowing out from the church. And that's got quite a prophetic edge to it. They've seen tongues of fire, like rivers of fire, going down through the streets here in Tile Hill. What is that about? Well, actually, I've mentioned it before, part of the Baptist network is recognizing that there is some significant things happening in different churches around the country. And they've set up this, if I call it a conference, it might you understand kind of the concept, but actually it's a conversation amongst churches. Say, well, what is God doing? Not that we can replicate that, because God's doing that for you there, but what caused you to get to that place? And let's have a conversation and see where all these things that are starting up in Birmingham and Coventry and Sheffield and Bristol and Manchester, all these things, what's going on? And these little fire starter conversations are gathering together. And we are actually hosting one here, I think, in April, just to gather people together and say, what is God actually doing? And I want us to get excited about that, because we can sometimes just get locked into our bit, and we can become stuck in the mud sometimes. And God says, now lift your eyes, I want you to see what's going on. And I want you to try and catch some of that this morning. What could God do with us here in Tile Hill? Now Amos, let's think about Amos. It said right at the beginning, can you remember what he was? He was a shepherd and a fig farmer. Yeah. It's not often. Anybody done any fig tree farming here? Anybody ever owned a fig tree? Ah, beautiful, aren't they? You can't beat fresh figs, can you? So here he was. Can I say nobody special? I mean, a fig tree farmer and a shepherd, was that seen as some high social standing? Nothing special, maybe? But actually, to allude back to our message last year, he was told something and he hashtag go. He went to go and tell what God had given to him. There was some obedience, and he started to challenge the things of the day, that there was this injustice that was going on, and God's wrath is going to be poured out. Fast forward to today, And I believe that what God is calling us as church to do is to challenge that injustice. And I think that is a real challenge for us this year. What does that look like yet? I don't entirely know, but as we go on through the message, I'm going to give you a chance to think and maybe just ask God to speak to you this morning, and then maybe you can feed that back to me and say, Darren, I think this is what God's saying, because that's how we work as a body, isn't it? To hear what God is saying to each and every one of us. But what did Jesus say? If you want to flick into the New Testament, into Luke 10, 30 to 37, just to remind us of a story. Sometimes we can make these stories very long, and Jesus was very succinct when he actually told the stories. The parable of the Samaritan, or the Good Samaritan, you might know it as. Luke 10, 30 to 37. Jesus said this. He says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. And then Jesus asked the question, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? It says, the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, hashtag go. They didn't have hashtags then. He said, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Now, you've probably heard many messages on that, and I'm not going to unpick that bit this morning. So if there's things ticking over in your head, listen to what God is saying. But what are you most like, or who are you most like in that story? I mean, we know about the Samaritan. This wasn't like his mate. This is like almost an enemy that's actually looked after him. So if you don't know the story, it'd be something to look at in a bit more detail. But this is actually an enemy, really, to the man that had been mugged. And it was like an enemy that came and did that, or somebody that was sin to oppose. But there was injustice. And the point is the Samaritan went and dealt with what was the injustice. There is injustice. There was an action, and it leads to give birth to righteousness. Flick on a bit further to 1 John. You find 1 John 2, John 3, John somewhere in there. 1 John 3, just so that we can see that this isn't an Old Testament concept of justice and righteousness. 1 John 3, 17 through 18. And I'm not picking these out of context. You can challenge me if you think they are, but I think these speak quite clearly to us. It's saying here, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? It says in verse 18, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. You see, actions are taking part again. If we see injustice, we've got to be doing something about it. Remember that definition. It's about the actions we take to correct injustice that leads to righteousness. The opposite of righteousness leads to an eternal separation from all that is good. And actually, just thinking as I was chatting to somebody last night, you know, just being very clear on what the Bible says, it's not this platitude to make us feel good and think I'm doing all right compared to everybody else. There are eternal consequences to not following Christ. And actually, when we talk about that following, if you're talking about following the rabbi, that kind of following is actually walking in the dust of the footprints. I'm actually walking exactly where he walks. And if we're not following Christ, if we're doing something that looks like it, it kind of helps me as well. And it's a kind of a Jesus thing. It's not following Christ. And I want us to be really clear this morning. The Bible is calling us to be followers, to be imitators, to walk in the very footprints of Christ. And if we're not doing that this morning, the scripture is not here to make us feel good. Not to come to church for an hour and do our bit. I was listening to a guy preaching this week, and he was talking about giving. And actually, he set something up with his children. When his children were very little, he gave them 3 jars. And he said, whatever you get, he said, and you can pick up on tithing however you like with this, but he said to his kids about tithing, I give to God first, and then I save something, and then whatever's left is mine. But the world says, well, this is mine. I might save a little bit, and whatever I've got left, when I turn up to church for an hour on Sunday, I'll give God the coppers, the things that are left over. And the world is taught that. In actual fact, it's taught to even borrow more if you can't afford what it is that you want. And actually to reverse that around and say, actually, no, I recognize God. I recognize God for all he is. And I give to God first, and then I save something, and then whatever's left is mine, that's what I live on. What a great principle to live by. Not only does God get the first fruits, but when troubles come, and they will, you've actually got a little bit of savings there to go into. And yet, you look at a model like that, and we see a world that is in debt. And it's got it the wrong way round, and it's strangled with this. And Jesus says, no, come follow me. Now, the things I've learned, and I've given an example already this morning, is when we follow God and your salary doesn't add up at the end of the month, God is more than capable of meeting our shortfall. Whether that's financial or spiritual or emotional, God is more than capable of meeting the shortfall if we give to him first. I can't tell you when we needed a new sofa last year and we were praying about it and we looked at it and in the end we said, there's no way we can afford a new sofa. And literally my phone went, bing, Facebook. There's a free sofa available 2 roads from your house. Do you want it? So I kind of said, could I be considered for the free sofa? And they said, if you can come round, you can have it now. I kind of only prayed, and within 10 minutes, I was outside someone's house and I had a brand new free sofa. The husband that was who the sofa belonged to, he said, my wife's bought a new one and it's not as comfortable as this one. You're getting a very nice sofa. So it wasn't rubbish. It was really comfy. Now, my maths didn't add up for buying a new sofa, but God meets us in our shortfall. We put God first, we serve him first, and he'll look after the other stuff. It goes back to our motto verse, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Let me be right with God, and he'll look after all the other stuff. The reason why I want us to be really sure about whether we're right with God or not, dive back to Matthew 25:31. Matthew 25. I spoke a little bit on this last year. The sheep and goats might get you going, okay, yeah, I know where you're going with this. But what is the Bible saying? These are Jesus' words again. If you've got a Bible where it marks it in red, these are Jesus' words. This is Jesus speaking. And he's talking about when the Son of Man comes in glory. And he says this, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or feed you, or thirsty, and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes, and clothe you? When did we see you ill in prison, and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And then there's those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire. Let's just be clear, I'm not doing the hell and damnation bit here, but some people saying, yeah, I'm not sure about the Bible saying about that. These are Jesus' words. Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, well, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or ill or in prison and didn't help you? And he will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. They will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now, I know it's the start of year and I don't want to be heavy with this, but what does the Bible say? There's so much wishy-washy teaching around today. But be sure, these are Jesus's words and I don't think it needs a lot of interpretation. There is a way that leads to eternal life and there is a way that leads to an eternal punishment. And actually, I've heard it said, well, I'm going to have a jolly with my mates, we'll have a few beers. Honestly, it's not that. It's worse than you could ever imagine. I've been suffering from headaches recently, and they're blinding headaches, these migraines that I have to have a sleep reset. And actually, I feel through those, God is saying to me, that's nothing compared to what that eternal punishment is going to be like. Now, that might be a motivator for me. I don't want anybody to face that. I don't know what your worst nightmare is or the worst illness you've ever been in. I wouldn't want that wished on anybody. I wouldn't want someone in that eternal pain. And that's got to be our motivator. Even if it's 1:30 at church having the boiler repaired, I want to tell someone about Jesus. I want them to know the good news. So I'm just going to give us a moment. I just want you to think, and I've got a couple of questions to put up on the screen. But I just want you to think and maybe feed that back to me and say, Darren, I've been thinking, it might not be today, it might be over the next few weeks or the next month. But this idea of injustice. So I've got the first question, pick it up for us, Morris. It says, where is the lack of justice in our community that you know of? Now just think for a moment. Just ponder on that question. Because I want to hear your answers to that. Pause for a moment. You might just want to close your eyes and think. Where is the lack of justice in our community? It might be your school. It might be the flats where you live. It might be your street, your neighbours, your workplace. Someone you have a coffee with. Have a think for a moment. Who are you thinking of that could be hurting? And there is injustice. And just to follow that with the second question, if you're still thinking, question two. How can that change? How can change come about in that situation? If we're thinking about injustice, or we're thinking about justice, we're saying it's an action that changes that injustice that leads on to righteousness. How can that situation change? I know families on this estate where there's large families living in two-bedroom houses with an ill partner or something. That's not right. It's just not right. And we love these folk, and they come to church. Well, that sits in my head, and I'm just going, really? Because you can look at stuff on the news, and it can be far off. And yet, precious folk that we love here, is that right? What can we do about that? Because that's the heart that God's given me, and I want you to catch that heartbeat this year. Let justice roll on like a river, and then righteousness like that never-ending stream, that never-failing stream. The everlasting stream. I just want you to know that you are part of something bigger that's going on. It's a very short question, really. Do you know you're part of something bigger? Because I think sometimes we can get shut down and things happen. I've mentioned it already. And our world becomes very small. Or we've sung the song, Saviour, Move the Mountains. There's a mountain right in front of you at the moment. You just think, I'm just never going to get over this thing. You are part of something bigger. I've been praying a lot, Lord, what are the next steps? I'm not clever enough and wise enough. I don't know enough people. I'm not rich enough, whatever excuse I might put before the Lord. What do you want to do next? And I've been waiting on God over these last few weeks and really saying, Lord, how do we move forwards in the things that I think you've brought us so far to in 2018? Now I'm going to name drop. I don't normally name drop because I don't know many big names. But actually, I was invited to meet Lord Nat Way this week. He is the Lord of Shoreditch, wasn't it? Yeah, Lord of Shoreditch, get the right one. And he's a young man. He's one of the youngest lords. He was part of Cameron's cabinet. He was looking at social change. We shared our stories with him and he shared his story with us. He was looking and listening to what God is doing through his people here in Coventry. And that's through many different social action things that are going on. And actually, he really feels, I can't remember which person it was now, but it was one of our historical characters or MPs that they were responsible for reducing child labour from 14 hours to 10 hours and eventually abolishing that. Can you remember who that was? Come on, I knew you might know. No, it wasn't Shaftesbury, I can't remember who it was now. He did mention it. If it comes to you, you can shout it at me. But this person really inspired Lord Nat Way before he was Lord Nat Way. And he said, you know when you get one of those books and you pick it up and you're shaking and you can't put it down, you're going to read the whole book. Because he saw what this person did and there was massive change and it changed the employment landscape for young people, particularly children. A phenomenal man. And Lord Nat Way, he said, I got so touched by that, I believe that's what God's called me to do. And he got appointed as a young man and one of the youngest lords to initiate social change and reform in the UK. He's actually been part of seeing transformation take place in Manchester and Birmingham. One of the things he did was to establish an airline between that and I think it was Hong Kong or Singapore. And actually, as part of that, X amount of billion pounds have come into Manchester. There's been all sorts of things going on in Manchester. There's been a bit of an outpouring of God's Spirit there and some amazing things happening. The same has been happening down in Bristol. And he actually had this vision, and the vision was a crossbow that was going across the country, and it was kind of a band, and it was joining up certain cities. And he said there was an arrow going through this crossbow and it was pointing to the southeast. And his background is out in Asia. And he said he had a real sense that something was going to come from the UK and be fired across into South Asia or Southeast Asia. And that was kind of the vision that he had. And what I found really exciting and why he was here in Coventry is that he actually felt Coventry is the next place that is going to get some massive investment and that God is going to do something really interesting. Just by the nature of the way the churches are talking to one another and the things that he sees going on, he's got very excited for Coventry. And one of the things he says is that when God's people are united, they can march upon Hades. Now, that was his term, but he was meaning in that he could clarify that as strongholds. You know, within our cities, there somehow is these strongholds, is oppression, for places where the enemy keeps people in captivity. And he says, actually, when God's people come together, they march upon that, and injustice gets smashed in the process. And he's very excited about this because he's seen it happen in Manchester, he's seen it happen in Bristol, he's seen some amazing things happen in Shoreditch, and here he was in Coventry saying, I think God is going to do something here. Now that instantly got me thinking back to our what ifs in Isaiah 58. I can't even remember that last year. We were doing Removing the Shadow of Sin, and it was righteousness was one of the themes. Righteousness removes the shadow of sin. And I had those three what ifs. What if the first one was this, Isaiah 58, number one, what if we did away with the yoke of oppression? I'm going to flick through these very quickly. What if we did away with pointing the finger and malicious talk? This is all from Isaiah 58. What if we spent ourselves on behalf of the hungry and the oppressed? And actually, if you continue to read on Isaiah 58, verse 10, we've got a then. And these are lovely ones, Isaiah 58, 10 to 12. I'd love this to be our motto verse as well at some stage. But then what does it say? Isaiah 58, verse 10 onwards. It says, then your light will rise in the darkness. If we do away with the yoke of oppression, if we do away with pointing finger, if we spend ourselves on behalf of the hungry, then your light will rise in the darkness. Your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. I loved this bit. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called the repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. Now, if you want to go back and look at that in more detail, you can go online. It's the Removing the Shadow of Sin series, and it was Righteousness. It was on the 20th of May last year. If you want to go back and listen to that and pick up more of this theme on righteousness, go back and do that. But what I mentioned at the beginning of the message this morning is that I want us to catch what God is doing and that we are part of something much bigger. It's much bigger than us. And you might think your part is very small or not very vital at all, but actually it is incredibly vital. As the conversation with Lord Nat Wave finished, he said this, he actually spoke to me and said, Darren, look, if God is going to pour out through his people here in Coventry, he says it's going to attract all sorts of attention. And just to flash our picture up on the screen, you'll recognize this, hopefully. This is a picture of a potential new building we might put up. £4.7 million. If anyone's got a spare £4.7 million, come and let me know afterwards. I'll buy you a coffee. What he was saying was, if you've got a vision for something that could challenge social injustice, if it can actually bring justice, if it can help people, if it can be a game changer for a community, he said £4.7 million, Darren, he said people will be falling over themselves to give you that money. If God is doing something here in Coventry, he said, people will be queuing up to build this building for you. Now, I took that as quite an encouragement because I was praying at the beginning of the year, Lord, I don't know how you raise £4.7 million. People have said to me, do we really need a building that big? No, you probably don't. But then you haven't got the vision that God has got. Play your little bit in that. You might work in the kitchen, you might be one of the cleaners, you might be a preacher, you might be in the... I don't know what you might be in that part, but this is part of something that could be so much bigger here in Coventry. And I want you to kind of raise your vision and raise the game, because I was praying not about a building, but Lord, what is your kingdom come look like? What does that look like in Coventry? It's already been happening in Manchester and Bristol. And this Lord thinks it's going to be happening here in Coventry next. And I want you to get excited about that, because otherwise it will be from your house to church. Whatever you do, that will be your rat run and that will be all you're focused on, and you won't catch the bigger vision. And that's what I took away from that meeting. Wow, God is doing something so much bigger than us. So as pastor, I suppose my encouragement to us as we step into 2019 is to lift our eyes. Not look at me, what I need. I don't need a building like that. No, you don't. You might not. It's not for you. It's for all those other people that are suffering at the moment. It's where the injustice is. If it allows us to do things and change this community, that's what we need to be lifting our eyes to. I would say God is building his church, and we mustn't stand in the way of hindering that. It's our motto verse for this year. And I'll close with that. Let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. It calls us to action. What is God calling each of us to do?
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.